Yes, I'm joined by Sally Lucas for Talking Travel. And I'd haven't asked you, Sally, where are we going today? I've got no idea.
No, we're a couple of different things. Off the beat sort of destinations. If you do want to avoid crowds, you still want to travel, but you don't want to do the big city crowds anymore. So, and to some unusual places that you might not have thought of. Also, what's happening regarding insurance with flying via the Middle East. That's a really good update on that, which will please everybody. And if I've got time, I'll talk about a new cruise of the Philippines, which is really unusual because it's going to islands that you normally, again, aren't going to get to by any other means because they don't have, you know, airports and so on. So
yeah, wonderful. A few things to talk about today. Yes. Thank you very much. This is Talking Travel on 2NURFM 103.7. And today we're going off the beaten track, Sally.
We are. And some of these places may not appeal to people, but then again, they just might if you're looking for something really different to do. Some of them are too hard to get to, so I've left some of them out because I thought it would just be too difficult to get there. But some of them, I think, could be quite interesting. So the first one I'm going to talk about is in Kyrgyzstan. And at the moment, I think anything ends in Stan seems to be really popular. All the countries ending in Stan have become a really popular destination.
Right.
They're emerging, you know, in their tourism. And of course, they're still, once you get there, it's so cheap because they haven't been, you know, exposed to the tourism industry for a long, long time.
So more bang for your buck.
Yeah, absolutely more bang for your buck. But if you really want to get a feel for a Stan country, then August the 31st to September the 6th this year, Kyrgyzstan is hosting the 6th World Nomad Games. Now, you can get there via probably Istanbul's your main international hub that would be closest, which is about 5 hours flying time into Kyrgyzstan, which is a landlocked country. It's in Central Asia and it's bordered by Kazakhstan, China, Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. Now, the World Nomad Games open in the capital of Bishkek, and primary competitions and the closing ceremony will happen in another region called, I'm probably going to pronounce this incorrectly, Issyk-Kul. Competitions include horse riding, wrestling, eagle hunting, and one of them, which is pretty horrific, and I actually saw this in the northwest of China many years ago, this same event. It's called Kok Buru, and it's dead goat polo.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I don't want to know.
No, you don't need to know.
So maybe
anything
we'll
further.
Skip that one.
But you mightn't go to that event. Mm. But all the others, I'm sure, and plenty of other sports you've probably never even heard of as well. So if you want to do something really different, that is really different. Now, also, if you're wanting to go somewhere that's low traffic destination in Europe, whoever has thought of going to Liechtenstein?
No, I haven't.
Everyone goes around it to all the countries around it.
What's
so,
there?
Again, you've got this tiny little landlocked country. It's small between Switzerland and Austria. It's still got a hefty dose of natural beauty and everything there that all of that area does have, particularly in the Alpine Rhine region. The Rhine River flows through the western edge, which is a natural border with Switzerland. The capital is Vaduz. And you can do a fairly comprehensive road trip there. It'll take less than 2 hours because it's only 26 kilometres long.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know, that's just one destination you could go to where you're not going to get absolutely rushed by crowds, but you're still going to see the same beautiful alpine scenery of Europe. Some of the other areas of Europe that are sort of, I guess, more low in tourism would be Moldova, Latvia, North Macedonia, Albania, all beautiful in their own right. In Africa, you've got Botswana's remote salt pans. There, if you wanted to do, and Botswana has some of the most prolific amount of animals, particularly elephants and such, but all of the big five are there. So that's different as well. And what just the other one that came up when I was reading these articles was the forgotten island of New Zealand, which we happened to visit, but just as a day trip, which is Stewart Island. And it is, people forget about that little island tucked right down the bottom.
A bit like Tasmania here.
Yeah. Probably worse than that because it's only got about 400 people.
Oh, okay.
So it's, yes, it doesn't get the visiting, but it's so beautiful and it's got the most proliferation, if I can get my words out, alliteration, of kiwis that you'll see anywhere in New Zealand and virtually be guaranteed to see kiwis there. So that's another thing, a plus for it. And also going into the French Polynesian area, like everyone talks about Moorea and Bora Bora, but don't forget you've got all these other islands like the Tuamotos, the Marquesas, the Society Islands. There's some lovely cruises that will take you to those islands again where island life is simple and the way it's always been lived. And if you want to go to the world's highest volcano, where do you think it is? Have a guess.
Not New Zealand.
No.
No. Bali.
No.
No.
Chile.
Oh, okay.
So there you go, which is the world's longest country as well, 4,300 kilometres long, because it just goes all down that coastline, that west coast of the South American continent. And, yeah, so you can go there and there's some wonderful, you've got the Atacama Desert, you've got, it's, Chile is so diverse in what it's got, that, and you've got, right down the bottom, you've got Patagonia, and it's just amazing country to visit, so you can really get away and do something really different there. And even in Japan now, everyone goes to the cities again, but they have some of the most incredible walking trails that go through these beautiful little villages with all these little wooden huts and the onsens and the hot spas. And so you don't have to go to Tokyo, which is more people per capita than anywhere in the world. You can get off the beaten track and still do amazing stuff.
Sounds lovely.
So, yeah, just a few of those.
Lots of options there, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot more places like that that we could consider visiting, like even Bhutan. It's another one, for example, Tibet. Lots of countries that have still got, you know, low tourism numbers where you can really still not feel crowded.
Well, definitely worth thinking about. Thank you very much.
That's okay.
This is Talking Travel on 2NURFM at 103.7. We're talking about insurance for the Middle East now.
Well, yes, I think this is really important because flying via Dubai, Doha or Abu Dhabi, it was really, no one was doing it because of the lack of insurance or availability to get travel insurance, not just because of the war, even if you weren't staying there, even if you were transiting, you know, just having an hour and a half between flights, you couldn't always get insurance. It was very difficult. So what's happened now is that Smart Traveller has given advice for Qatar, the UAE, including Dubai and Abu Dhabi, Bahrain and Kuwait, and even Israel is now set to reconsider your need for travel, downgraded from do not travel. So they're still saying, you know, it is a risk, but because they have downgraded it, then the insurance companies have virtually said now that they will, you know, be able to offer you insure people. So, I mean, that's probably going to help the airlines in the Middle East because obviously their numbers are down because people were not wanting to travel via Doha or Dubai because of, as I said, even if they weren't stopping there, even though they're transiting on their way to Europe or the UK because of the lack of insurance. So I think that's a really good plus. Again, you would probably need to check through your travel agent or your insurer just to make sure that all insurance companies are doing this. I mean, I don't know. This has just been an article that's just come out. So, yes, I think you would still need to check and make sure. Don't just assume. Yep. With insurance, you should never assume anyway.
You never assume anything.
No, absolutely not. And I always say to people, when you do take out travel insurance, look at the what's not included. It's a much shorter list than what is. Right. So you just look and think, oh, yes, okay, I'm not covered for that illness. I'm not covered for this. Okay. You know, you might have to then, you know, shop around and find the insurance company that suits you. Mm. For example, I had a friend the other day and she's just had 3 stents put in her heart. Poor thing. She didn't even know she had anything wrong. Can you believe
goodness.
That? She only just thought she had a history of heart disease and thought, I better go and have a cardiogram, an ECG or whatever. And they said, whoopsie.
Lucky she did.
Lucky she did. So, but yeah, she was then having difficulty finding someone because she'd already had a trip to Scandinavia book before this happened. And then.
But if she was already insured and she didn't have that condition, well, didn't know that she had that condition, wouldn't that still count as being insured for that? Or do
no,
you have
not
to.
No, she's got it. She have to divulge that this has happened. Yeah, the original company that she would have insured with, she's had to cancel the policy and get a refund because they weren't going to cover her. So this is just to give you an idea, but she's found someone who will, so she can still travel. Otherwise, she would have lost a lot of money on a trip. But
it's worth reading the fine print and making
just,
sure you cover.
Just double check, but at least this is clearer skies, no pun intended, for travelling or flying, you know, through the Middle East anyway. Right. And one last little thing I thought I'd mention when we're talking about different destinations is that there's a new itinerary on with Ponant, which is a savings of also up to 30% on this, on their vessel, the Le Soleil, unlocking some of the Philippines' lesser known islands in 2028. Yeah, quite volcanic, some of these islands, quite absolutely beautiful islands, just stunning water around them. Some of them quite tiny, but they're very pristine as well. So if you're interested in doing that, these are coming out and what they do with their discounts, it fills up the discount lessons. They don't actually have a cut-off date. You start saying if you book now for 2028, you might get the 30%. If you book in 6 months' time, it might be down to 20%.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah. incremental sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's that. And then we've got other hot deals coming next.
To NURFM, good times and great music. This is Talking Travel with Sally Lucas. We just had a call from Amanda and she was saying that if you're going to Norfolk Island, you should take your passport, not just rely on your license, because if you get diverted, you might have issues and have to stay in the airport that you get diverted to rather than being able to go out of the airport.
Well, true, but if you book with a travel agent, you'd be advised of that anyway.
Yeah.
And we always tell people to either take their passport if they've got one. If they're not going to be travelling anywhere else overseas, though, other than Norfolk, then you can get a document identity for just Norfolk Island. But certainly if you've got your passport, yes, you have to take it with you. Mm. No, your licence doesn't get you there.
No, it's probably a good idea anyway. Yeah. So yeah. All right, now we've got hot deals.
Look, there are so many, I can't mention them all because everyone's got one ending 30 June.
Of course.
Anyone and everyone. Right. I'll mention a couple. The River Cruise one at the moment is quite good for this year. What's happening is they're just selling up some leftover cabins just to try and fill a few of the river cruises this year. And this is throughout Europe, Egypt, Vietnam and Cambodia. And they're limited deals until 30 June or until sold out. So if you're still thinking about doing a river cruise, it's across a whole range of different ones, too many to mention again, but that is there. Also, Regent have got the same across their cruises and they've upped anything up to 45% on some of their sailings and also a 7.5% deposit only, which is quite a low deposit because some of the deposits are quite high. And one of their programs is really interesting. They've got a few departures that's doing the cruise of the Inside Passage, but they're adding in a six-night Rockies Land program on the Rocky Mountaineer as well. So that's a really interesting package if you're thinking of doing that, but you've only got till the 30th of June. Colette Touring, if you're travelling solo, they have a limited time. Solo travellers can save up to $1,700 when they book by 30 June for travel through to March next year. Viking, on just about all their river voyages, all their cruises, ocean, everything, have got, again, a sale ending 30 June. But they've also got an additional $400 per person in a shipboard credit if you book a select European river voyage departing between March and April. This is to promote the off-season. Again, get away from the crowds.
Gotcha.
Go when there's not as many people travelling. So that's an extra incentive if you wanted to go cruises during that time of the year. Backroads Touring have got a prize freeze. 2027 tours are protected at 2026 prices till 30 June, so that's good. Aurora Expeditions, this side of the Land of Fire and Ice, which of course is going up into the Arctic Iceland area, 30% off if you book before 30 June. And this is another one to Iceland as well. It's an escorted tour if you book by 30 June, where you can save up to $820 per couple on escorted tours of Iceland, and that's become quite a popular destination at the moment as well. Silver Sea have got up to 45% off their cruises as well. Look, just about everyone, as I said, if you're wanting to take a bargain now, you've got to book by 30 June. You'll have to pay a deposit, and I'm not sure when the balance will be due because that varies from company to company as to when they'll want their final payment. But certainly if you can lock in what you want to do and pay a deposit, you're going to get a good saving.
So what you're saying is it's a good time to book a holiday.
It absolutely is.
Excellent. Well, I'm thinking about it anyway.
You're thinking
about
it.
I'm always thinking about it.
I know you are, man. Let's get this one.
I'll get this one sorted out first.
Can worry about the next one,
okay? That's right. Well, thank you, Sal. We'll catch you next week on Talking Travel to NURFM.
Thanks, Amanda.